So many countries, individuals worked hard on this, but a gigantic prisoner swap ended in the early mornings this morning, where a reporter, U.S. Marine, both came back to the United States. 24 detainees, over seven countries involved in these negotiations. And kind enough to join me this morning on this topic is Dr. Carl Kaltenthaler. He is the director of the Michael Morrell Center for Intelligence and Security Studies at the University of Akron. And Carl, take us of what you know, because a lot of work had to be done behind the scenes to get something like this done.
Well, hi, Ray. Thanks for having me on the show. So, this was a very, very heavy lift for a lot of different people. This kind of a negotiation takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. It's from what I've heard, it was not really a done deal until the very last minute. The American side was kind of expecting that the Russians would maybe play games and then, you know, up the ante, ask for more people or, you know, pull out or whatever. I heard one person say that they didn't even feel confident that this was going to happen when the planes were in the air, because, you know, who knows if the Russians turned the planes around. So this was a really hard thing to do, but thank goodness it got done. Once again, in some ways, this was a really uneven swap. In that the Russians got some very bad people back, and they got a lot of bad people back. Hopefully those people don't cause us any harm into the future. But, you know, it's very important for us to bring our people home. And, you know, these particularly a couple of them who really didn't do anything other than be in Russia at the wrong time, the Wall Street Journal reporter and the Marine, those people needed to come home sooner rather than later, and thank goodness they got out.
And, Carl, we're seeing more and more of this, aren't we, with these detainees in other countries, and we hear a lot about in Russia, where these detainees from the United States, unfortunately, are being held for ransom to get people back from the United States. This is becoming more and more concerning.
Yeah, I mean, it's partially a consequence of the Russians seeing that it works, that if they grab somebody from the United States will work there to get that person back. The other thing is that the Russians really just don't care about their international image anymore. You know, they're done with that. And so they'll grab a reporter and they'll throw that person in the prison and say, you know, that they are guilty of espionage and send them to a penal colony, which in Russia is a really, really awful place to be imprisoned. And the rest of the world looks on at that and says, you know, that looks kind of like hostage taking, but the Russians just don't care at this point. For them, what's important is that they get their people back. And I think most importantly for Putin, he really wants to show to his security services, you know, his intelligence officers, that if they get arrested overseas, that he will do everything to get them back. Because to a great extent, those people are the bedrock of his regime. If he loses the confidence and the support of the intelligence services, he's not as stable and secure as he once was.
And it puts the United States rock in a hard place. You know, you want to get your people back, as you just mentioned. But obviously, through U.S. intelligence, we've been able to apprehend the bad guys. But then, as you mentioned, Vladimir Putin seeing that, he wants his bad guys back. A lot of work, I mentioned, Carl, with different countries involved here. And talk about why that happened with the expansion. Belarus, I heard Germany was involved. I heard Turkey was involved. Talk about the commitment of these countries to get this done.
Well, part of it is that the Russians assume that the United States controls its allies. This is one of the things that's very frustrating for American diplomats, American national security officials. You know, the Russians kind of assume that NATO countries, for example, are like what Russia was like with the Warsaw Pact during the Cold War, if I can take you back to that time and have you think about that. And, you know, Russia controlled those satellite countries, Poland, Czechoslovakia, East Germany. Those countries were all very controlled by the Soviet Union. And so Russia kind of assumes that the United States has that ability to control NATO countries, and of course we don't. You know, they're sovereign countries, they're allies, but they're not our puppets. So the Russians basically said, okay, we'll give you back these people that you want, the Wall Street Journal reporter, the Marine, but you need to get these people out of these, and these countries. And so that meant that the United States had to go and talk to the governments in those countries and say, hey, are you willing to participate in this swap? And, you know, that is not something, like I said, the United States can just say, hey, do it. We have to be able to assure those countries that these bad guys that they're letting out are not going to come back and haunt them, or not going to be a precedent that's going to set up more terrorism. For example, one of the guys that was released by Germany had killed a guy on the street in broad daylight. It was an assassination, very brazen. You know, Germany doesn't want that to happen on a daily basis, where, okay, Russians come into the country and just assassinate their political opponents. This is not something that doesn't have potential costs down the road.
Carl Kaufenthaler with us again. He is the director of the Michael Morell Center for Intelligence and Security Studies. As you mentioned, to wrap up our conversation, Carl, Vladimir Putin sees this is working. How concerning is it for you watching this happen that we're going to see more and more and more of this, and maybe a lot of escalation with this, maybe expanding into other countries that are seeing this is working for Russia?
So I think one of the most important takeaways from this is that if you're an American, avoid going to Russia. A reporter going there, that's one thing. People going there for tourism or any other reason, they really should avoid Russia, because Russia will continue to do this. The same is true for Iran. You know, that's a country that does the same kind of thing. We'll grab people, and they're doing it simply because they become pawns. They become bargaining chips to get what they want. So these countries really need to be treated as rogue regimes, as what they are. They don't play by the international rules. They don't protect journalists. They don't protect all kinds of different people who come into their country. So I would say the first takeaway from this is really avoid travel to those countries. Now, Russia did kind of break a rule in an important way with the journalists, because they know that guy was not involved in espionage. And why do I say this? Because during the Cold War, until modern day, and this is you can find this in any book about the CIA. This is not like some kind of secret. There's certain occupations that the CIA will not use as covers for their intelligence collectors, and a journalist is one of them. Another is a student, and another is clergy. So they don't use those covers because they want those people to be safe. They want them to be protected. They don't want, you know, students getting hassled, getting arrested. Same with journalists. So the Russians knew this guy was not what they purported him to be. But, you know, this was about taking a hostage and sending a signal to the United States that no Americans are safe in the country.
No doubt. Carl, thank you for the time, getting us on the calendar this morning. Always appreciate your great insight, Carl. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.